Embedded in your human resource strategy should be mission alignment, cultural fit. Now, with social enterprises, very often they are cross states, cross countries. You have to ensure that no matter where the person is coming from to work for you, they are rather fitting with the culture and not jarring out. Of course, you cannot always recruit from within the community, but you have to ensure that people are a cultural fit. To mention something very small, sometimes you may have young volunteers going to a community or a village, and very often these are conservative areas where it is probably expected of young women that they will wear Indian outfits like salwar kameez or kurtis, etc. And sometimes young enthusiastic kids may end up going in jeans, t-shirt, the way they dress up for college, etc. And safety aside, it may be the safest environment. What that could create is a barrier to trusting them, a barrier to relatability, a barrier to people opening up to these young employees. So while this may seem very superficial in terms of how you dress, but at the end of the day, these are all elements of the culture. If you are going into a community where smoking is frowned upon, please don't smoke out there. So all of these things are tiny, may appear superficial, but have to be cultural. You have to be bring in people who can fit into the culture and assess that. So, for example, Willigro does something very interesting. Before hiring, as part of the recruitment process, they give potential candidates assignments to complete. Now, in the completion of that assignment, they are being able to assess that, okay, this assignment which is given, related to the eventual job or role that they are applying for, this assignment, in the fulfilling of this assignment, are they meeting all the cultural fit requirements? They are going to be assessing you on how well you have blended with the people within the organization and the beneficiaries as well. So all of that is going to be assessed, and at the end of it, let it be a win-win situation for everyone. A lot of these elements are sometimes driven by inclusivity policy. So, for example, DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion, which especially in multinational corporations had become paramount, and there were targets where people needed to hire based on DEI, for whether it was gender, whether it was race, whether it was various other parameters based on which they had to hire. And now, if you are aware, or if you have been following the sociopolitical, geopolitical environment in the United States, then with Trump coming in, he is not exactly the biggest proponent or supporter of DEI. He is very, very matter of fact, cut and dry, and he believes in recruitment based on other elements, be it merit, be it various other factors. So, but definitely not, primarily DEI. So once he has come in, so many of the organizations, including Meta, which earlier were hiring based on DEI, meeting their targets, have instantly thrown their DEI policies out of the window and said, we're not recruiting based on those anymore because it's no longer a requirement from us. So very often, inclusive practices ended up leading to recruitments from underrepresented groups, whether it was community-based, whether it was race-based, whether it was based in terms of the income group you came from, which is a changing dynamic, especially in the US now. When I was telling you earlier an example of Miles for Migrants winding up, we don't know if the winding up has anything to do with the changing policy with the new government coming in. So all of these practices get impacted by policies, government views, government policies across the world. So all of these elements have to come into play when you're hiring. So let's say there's an Indian enterprise which is operating in the US. Till a few months back, they may have had to choose their recruits not just based on their various other elements of capability and value alignment, etc., but possibly also meet certain targets in terms of DEI inclusions, which of course is healthy in ways, but also there are other views on it. Now, their hiring would change very much based on the changing changing view and changing government policy as far as DEI is concerned. Also, what has to be kept in mind is that people who are working in the gig economy are choosing not to have bosses or be constantly answerable to someone. So, especially in the social enterprise environment, and more so with freelancers, yes, of course, there may be someone there is a reporting line to, etc. But micromanagement is highly frowned upon as far as employees and volunteers are concerned. Autonomy is something which is very, very dear to employees, workers in the gig economy, in the social enterprise world. So giving that autonomy to make people, decision makers, to give people the opportunity to grow, to give people the opportunity to take risks is important. So you have, for example, you have Audience Match, which is a tech platform of Guardian Jobs, which helps people in the SE space, the social enterprises, of finding a right match for your project. So it gets the talent and the hirers together on one platform. So when they come together on this platform, people can assess elements like, what is the working style of this person? They like a lot more freedom, but at the same time with that freedom, they do deliver, they have account, they do respond to accountability, they do bring in results. Now, in the social enterprise space, in the gig economy, where we may not necessarily have, what was your appraisal last year and how many promotions have you got and by what percentage did your salary jump and your bonus jump, which are typically considered measures of performance in traditional corporations. Here, one way of associating credibility with a potential client would be on the basis of referrals. So if someone likes me, if I'm working for an organization, I'm in the gig economy, I'm working for a social enterprise, or I'm a volunteer, working part-time. And if I am liked, if I'm trusted, if I'm seen as result-oriented, I have delivered, chances are that the organization, when they want to hire next, may want to ask me, well, do you know someone else, who believes, who has the same beliefs, motivations as you? Because there is an element of trust that I am trustworthy, so I would not refer someone who is not. So referrals can be a very strong way of hiring the right talent, because here that human element, and in terms of I would not want to lose face by by referring someone who's not a good fit. And obviously here, when money is not the primary consideration, I would be that much more sensitive in terms of who I am referring across. Of course, recognition programs are very, very impactful. When we walk into even a McDonald's or various other companies, you will see, a little placard saying employee of the month, or, some little appreciation like that. So even in your social, in your impact organizations, in your gig economy, where monetary consideration is not paramount, or there are constraints in terms of monetary constraints, all the more important that appreciation is given regularly rather than taking for granted that we are a nice organization, so you will continue to be loyal to us. And you are such a loyal employee that we don't need to keep telling you you've done a good job, or we don't need to occasionally tell you you've done a good job, because, you know, you believe in the purpose. So it doesn't matter whether we acknowledge that, you will keep giving to society. So you'll find another avenue to give to society. So recognition is very, very even more important in the socially impactful hiring world. Another thing is that organizations cannot have identical people. You cannot have everyone with the same personality. So just because you have found an ideal, unique employee and you find them great and you would like to hire as many as those, you cannot clone an employee. And having too much of that expectation from another person puts too much undue pressure on another person to align, to adhere to another individual. This second person may be bringing in their own uniqueness. So there has to be the right mix of employees wanting to replicate superstars. You know, someone has done phenomenally well, they're really good, great impact. And then wanting to hire everyone else, you know, who are exactly like them. One is not practical or possible, and secondly, will put too much negative pressure on the others. Also, a Grameen Bank is successful, yes, because of Dr. Yunus's vision, but all the employees top down have made Grameen Bank successful. So any successful enterprise is not only about the superstar. Everyone has to contribute. So if there is someone who's a superstar and it's just everyone, oh my God, we have this person, the rest is immaterial, he's the face, she's the face, and you know that's good enough for us, and we will continue to attract funding and continue to attract employees and continue to you know, create socially relevant impact, no, that's unrealistic. So yes, having superstars is very good because it will get you the visibility, it will get you the access, it will get you probably you know, funding, networking opportunities, etc. But at the same time, you have to have other employees also being valued and contributing. So a Pani Foundation, yes, has a superstar associated with it. Yes, Mr. Aamir Khan's presence would be bringing in the right amount of money, would be bringing in the right amount of connections, network, visibility, etc. But the other employees of Pani and the other people they collaborate with all have to contribute systematically to ensure that an organization is successful. So different models we have discussed. Then we have sites which focus. So for example, we are familiar with sites like Naukri and Glassdoor, etc. when it comes to jobs. But there are very specific sites like ethicaljobs.com, ngobox.com, devnet.org, which focus on jobs, NGO jobs, UN jobs, ethical jobs, jobs in the social enterprise space. Not to say that if you do go to Naukri or any other platform, you can do a filter or a search for social enterprise jobs. But here, these are dedicated platforms catering specifically to jobs in these segments. Various ways for recruitment are listed, you know, and referrals, right, from job boards, etc. So there are various ways in which employees can be tapped into. Referral system, of course, brings in an element of trust, which I was saying, trust and credibility, and is often a very effective system to hire. Interviews and one-on-one questions are very important because it helps you assess the other person's commitment and passion. And also when you are trying to assess that, it is important to assess, are you really committed or do you have something to demonstrate why you are committed to a certain cause? Or is it just a stopgap that you're joining this till your interview elsewhere, works out? Or as a, sometimes there have been instances of young kids joining social enterprises to get a box ticked on their resume so that they can apply to universities, Ivy League universities internationally, showing, you know, see, I have such great, unique, diverse experience. Please, you know, give me admission. It's happened. I've seen it happen that people, you know, kids do that. And they may not necessarily be joining for the right reasons. They are doing it, using it as a stepping stone to some other goal that they have. So it's very important to assess all of these elements when you are recruiting. Through those one-on-one interviews, you can understand whether this is a tangible, strong commitment. Is there something in their background, in their history to demonstrate that they have the ability to contribute to this cause that they are talking about? Of course, something very important is, you know, your contract. Is there a salary involved? What sort of salary are you going to get? There was someone I knew who was working for a publication, which was a publication which was catering only specifically to social enterprise articles articles about the social impact space. And they had an arrangement with one of the writers who wrote for them that, look, in a month, if we make the money, we will pay you for an article. Otherwise, we won't pay you. And, you know, but it was clearly specified. It was not like one. So the person wrote in, was happy to receive a check if he did in a certain month, didn't ask for it. If he didn't get it, it was understood that this month the budget is not there. So all of these things have to be thrashed out in advance versus, you know, there being confusion later on. Now, the same person went on to work for another publication, which though was focusing on socially impactful measures, but was known to have a very clear source of funding, which supported a very fancy office, which supported salaries for, you know, other writers and journalists and editors and publishers and all of that. And so this person clearly said, you know, I expect to be paid and I know you have the funds to pay. You know, when he did not receive a certain payment, he got back and did not feel shy about saying, I have not received payment for this article, because he was not dealing with an organization where there was a crunch of funds or there was a policy of having, you know, not paying because of various constraints. So you have to see in the space where it is, these things should be discussed upfront so that later on there is no conflict happening on these issues. Equality, as I've said, equity is very, very important in terms of legislation, in terms of ethics. All of these things become, you know, very important. Also for employers, you have to keep in mind, you know, are there pension considerations? Are there gratuity considerations? Are there medical benefits you have to provide? Are there various other insurance things you have to provide? You will have to thrash out all of these things, which have to be made very, very clear to your employee. So a long-term hiring strategy overall puts you in good stead to have this long-term commitment. Keep investing in them from providing opportunities, from providing training, skills, exposure, growth, so that there is a sense of ownership that the employees have. Testing skills in action, as I was giving the Willigro example, is a very useful way to understand whether the capability is there, whether you know, what the commitment and the passion is there. And of course, even in terms of interviews, you can't always work on a model of giving an assignment to complete during your hiring process. So even in interviews through one-on-one questions, you could frame them in a way to ask them, well, if you had to go and pitch it for investment or for various other tie-ups, how would you go about it? Which will give you an idea, has this person thought this through? Have they really understood, or is there a really well-rounded desire to work for us? And have they given that due thought? Now, summarizing this discussion, I'll give you two examples of how hiring and talent management can really help, you know, an organization versus, you know, not really being very a very, very synergistic arrangement and interaction. So, for example, you have We are all familiar with Facebook. And there was a time when I was reading about these moderators who moderate content. So, you know, when we watch, when we see what's put up on Facebook, there are people working 24/7 across the world who are deleting content which is unethical, which is graphic, which is violent, which is, you know, about SH, about, you know, a lot of other extremely, you know, about like macabre things which people have put up. And they put up for various reasons, whether these are, you know, negative organizations, dark organizations, terrorist organizations, pervert organizations, whatever. But they put it up, and there are these moderators who are constantly viewing it and deleting it if that is required, so that you and I don't have to see it in our feeds. So there is that constantly happening. Now, you can imagine what the moderators get exposed to in terms of what all they have to view to delete so that we don't get to see it. They are doing this filtering. And a lot of times, a lot of them have serious mental health issues because of what they have to see, because a lot of these are extremely real. They are real violence, macabre, exploitative videos being put, you know, across the world about children, about women, about people, about, you know, various things. And this can leave a very, very, very disturbing impact on the psyches of the moderators who are having to see it to filter it and delete it. And I was seeing the interviews of some of these moderators who said that they are desperately in need of counseling and mental health hand-holding to be able to continue with these jobs, or forget continue, even if they leave the jobs, to be able to come to terms with the things that they have seen. And they are playing a very key role there, because they are protecting the others from, you know, the masses from not seeing this and not being scarred by these. And a lot of them felt that they were not getting the right kind of counseling and engagement. And now whose fault is that, you know? So organizations have to address these issues to keep employees engaged, and especially when it is a social enterprise where you know, there will be a lot of volatile, there could be a lot of volatile elements involved. So on the other spectrum, you have Toronto-based AVA Express, which provides, which is a platform which helps people who have had mental health issues, helps them to gain employment by engaging them, training them, counseling them, providing skill enhancements. So on the other end of the spectrum, you have Toronto-based AVA Express, which is a platform which provides people who have had mental health issues, provides them with ways to get employed. These are people who have been left out of the workforce in the past. They are handheld, they are given counseling, they are given training, they are given skill enhancement. They are given access to potential employers, and there are one-on-one counseling sessions. There are group therapies which happen, and post all of that, they are put up in the workforce in you know, and monitored and nurtured in a way that they can try to move towards you know, self-reliance and try to move towards job security and have their basic needs and dignity met. So giving you a comparison of where it is being handled in a very engaging, sensitive manner, and where it is not exactly, you know, there are claims that it is not exactly being handled in a manner. And ironically, you know, the claims, the moderators making these claims about Facebook, ironically, they're making these claims about an organization which has no dearth of money. So it's not always about money where employee engagement comes in, but it's about thought and strategy, and really be having values which are in alignment with your employees. So that is what great organizations indulge in, that there are great teams and not just great superstars who are together ensuring that an organization is succeeding. Thank you.